I don't know if I can do this. No matter how much I prepare, I'll always make mistakes. I'm not good enough. Not a good enough pastor, good enough leader, good enough communicator. If you don't get this perfect, they'll never come back. Smile. Act like it's not there. Let's do this. Every single weekend before I walk up here on this stage, those are the thoughts that I battle. And those thoughts are just a snapshot of the dozens of other battles that I fight in my mind every single day, every single week. And what I'm willing to bet is that many of you can relate with that. There may not be battles you're fighting in your mind as it pertains to public speaking, but there are battles in your mind that you're fighting when it comes to your profession, when it comes to the way in which you parent, when it comes to your marriage, your relationships, the way in which you handle your finances. That for every single one of us, we have insecurities and inadequacies that oftentimes begin to manifest themselves into things like worry, fear, anxiety, and even depression. And as those things begin to take root in all lives, what we slowly begin to realize is that in every facet of all lives, not just the mental battles that we're fighting, but in our physical circumstances, in our emotional standing, and even in our spiritual lives, what we oftentimes find is this, is that most of life's battles are won or lost in the mind. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to dive into a conversation in this series that we are calling Winning the War in Your Mind. Because here's what I know about myself and what I believe about so many of y'all, is that every single one of us have found ourselves at some point in our lives, be it in our past or be it in our present, in which we have struggled with those feelings, emotions, and thoughts of worry, fear, anxiety, depression, and insecurity. For some of us, those things come on stronger than others, but for every single one of us, we undoubtedly wrestle with those emotions in our lives. And oftentimes, as we encounter moments that bring on those thoughts, feelings, and emotions, it is commonplace for so many of us to feel stuck, uncertain of how to move forward, uncertain of how to fight back, uncertain of how to think anything differently in our lives. And what many of us have encountered is this, is that in the moments of our lives in which we are uncertain of how to fight back against fear, worry, anxiety, depression, and insecurities, when those things are allowed to run rampant in our lives, what we often find is that we feel like we're losing at everything. Nothing in our lives, nothing in our circumstances, nothing in our marriage, nothing in our parenting, nothing in our finances seems to be going right. And yet, if you found yourself in that place at any point in your life, there's good news. Or should I say something even stronger? There's hope. Hope because we have a God, the one who created you and I, us as humanity, the one who holds the world in his hands, has created a battle plan that allows us to fight back in those moments of our life in which we experience those feelings, emotions, and thoughts, in which we are fighting battles in our mind, a battle plan that allows us to begin to win this war that every single one of us find ourselves fighting every single day. And what I find so incredible about our God is that not only does he have a battle plan, that he wants what's best for us. He knows us best, knows the struggles that we go through on a daily basis, but the God who knows us best creates a battle plan and then spells it out for us in his word. You see, we find it time and time again throughout his word, this battle plan that he's created for us that allows us to demolish these thoughts that keep us confined and trapped, leave us feeling stuck within our lives and in our thought life. this battle plan to fight back against anxiety, worry, fear, depression, and insecurities. And time again, we find passages like the one that we're going to use to kick off this series this morning. You see, this morning we dive into this letter written by a guy named Paul. He wrote it to a church much like us a couple of thousand years ago. In fact, this was his second letter full of instruction that he had written to a church in a city called Corinth. And right smack dab in the middle of this letter that he was writing to people like you and I, humanity, yes, 2,000 years ago, that was fighting the same mental battle that we find ourselves fighting daily in 2023, this is the instruction that Paul gives you and I to create a battle plan to fight back against all of those thoughts, feelings, and emotions. We find it in chapter 10, starting in verse 3. Here's what he writes. "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. For the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." You see, when we read this passage and simply leave it to face value, we find a significant amount of hope within that passage, that we have been given this power to demolish the strongholds in our lives and in our minds that are holding us back. But where we find even greater significance, and y'all have heard me say this before, is when we begin to peel back the layers and we dig just a little bit deeper into a passage like this one. Because when we peel back the layers and we begin to look at things like the original context and the original layers, we begin to see a whole nother level of what God is trying to speak into our lives, into our minds, and into our circumstances. You see, within this passage, maybe you noticed it on your notes page, or maybe you noticed it on the screen behind me. There were two distinct words that I highlighted and underlined within this passage. The first is this word, power. That Paul writes about this divine power that you and I have been given as we follow Jesus. And what's so incredible about this particular word is when we go back to the original language of this passage, which is Greek, this word that we find is the word dunamis. And maybe this Greek word sounds familiar to you because this Greek word dunamis is the word that we get the English word dynamite from. And yet what we find is that within the New Testament, when this Greek word comes out over and over and over again, most often used in conjunction with the account of the life of this guy named Jesus that many of us claim to be following, that this word was most often used in a singular fashion. It was used to describe the divine power that Jesus had in the moments in which he was performing miracles. Do you know what this is unveiling for you and for I? It's unveiling this reality that within all lives, as we follow Jesus, we have been given this gift. We possess the same divine power that the Son of God had when he was capable of performing miracles on this earth. We have this incredible power, and then he goes on to say, you have this dunamis, this dynamite that blows up all of these strongholds around you. Now, this Greek word, strongholds, is a word that was most often used. It was a Greek military term. And this Greek military term referred back to a place or a structure within a fortress that was used during battle. And most often, this stronghold was used to keep prisoners during battle. Because it was believed that the stronghold was the most impenetrable place within the entire fortress. That there was no getting into it, there was no breaking down the walls to it. No one was going to have access. Whatever was put inside of the stronghold was trapped there for good. And you see, what I'm willing to bet is that when we allow our minds to go to this place in which we think of that Greek word, this concept of strongholds in our lives, oftentimes what we will find is this, is that your enemy, whether you believe it or not, the devil, The one who wants for your life and your future the exact opposite of what our Heavenly Father wants. That when he sent his son and he said, I've come to give you a rich and satisfying life, in contrast to that, your enemy says, I want nothing more than to steal, kill, and destroy anything good in your present and in your future. That enemy, his goal is to create strongholds in your life, in your mind, full of worry, fear, anxiety, depression, and insecurities. He wants to create these strongholds and over time begin to make you think that those strongholds are impenetrable. You are incapable of tearing them down. You are trapped within them and there is no coming out for as long as you are on earth. He wants to reshape your thinking one lie at a time. You will never be good enough. You'll never overcome that addiction. You'll never get out of debt. You'll never find someone who loves Jesus to date. So just date anybody. You'll always get hurt in relationships. So maybe it's time to stop trusting people and entering into relationship, period. You don't have enough time to do that. You don't have enough money to give generously to that. The enemy will consistently communicate these lies one at a time into your life to make you believe that you are trapped. But as much as the enemy wants you to believe all that junk, this is what God desires for you and for me. In verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension, every lie that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Do you know what God is setting up for you and for me in this moment? This truth that you and I are not trapped. We are capable of taking captive, taking control back of our thoughts, our minds, and acknowledging that within our lives, most battles are won or lost in our mind. And so we must take back captive our thoughts. We demolish all of those lies that are designed to defeat us. But doing so requires us to understand and grasp the power that lies within every single one of our minds. You see, maybe some of you walked into this room and you're like, Ben, I'm still skeptical about this whole church, this whole Jesus thing. And if you're going to convince me of the power in my mind to change my thoughts in order to change the direction of my lives, you're going to have to use something more than just God's word. And if that's you, the good news is this, is that there are countless scientific studies that back up what this book, God's instruction manual for our lives and our future, says about our minds. Do you realize that there are countless scientific studies that back up the fact that every toxic behavior in our life was ultimately birthed from a toxic thought. Every hurtful behavior we ever embark upon in our life began as a hurtful thought. It's as if King Solomon actually knew what he was talking about when he wrote, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." For as he thinks, that is who he becomes. Your thoughts are ultimately determining who you become, where you go. And maybe more directly than that, the life you live is a reflection of the thoughts you think. The life we live every single day is a direct reflection of the thoughts we think every single day. In our lives, they are headed towards where our minds are already pointed towards. Your thoughts affect your marriage. Your thoughts affect your parenting. Your thoughts affect your finances. Your thoughts affect your relationships. They affect the quality of your choices. Yes, your thoughts even affect your physical health. Our minds are powerful things. As the great Chad Powers said, think fast, run fast. Nobody saw that SportsCenter special with Eli Manning dressing up, going to Penn State? Nobody? As we think, so we become. And if we don't like the direction that our lives are headed, God is setting this standard for you and I. If you don't like the direction that your life is presently headed, then the place to start is one place and one place only. Reshape the way you think. Change what you're thinking about, and ultimately your life and your future will change on the back end of that. You see, here's the reality that you've heard me talk about many, many times. You will always find what you are looking for. If you look for the negative, you will always find it, and in turn, your life will always head towards it. If all you do is turn on mainstream media and become convinced that the world is crumbling around you and there is no hope and we're all going to die, I guess that is true, we are all going to die at some point, your life will always head in that direction. We've heard it said, what you put in your mind always comes out your mouth. Y'all, it's far deeper than that. What you put in your mind always comes out in your life. And so if that is true, be it through God's instruction manual or through scientific studies, then I have but one question. What is it you're always thinking about? What is it that dominates your thoughts? And if you're anything like me, when presented with such a broad question that spans every second, every minute, every day of my life, oftentimes it's hard for me to pinpoint what exactly I'm thinking about all the time. And because at least I struggle with it, I wanted to do a little activity together to help you on this journey as well. You see, even if you're not a note taker, I would challenge you right now with that weekly that you got when you walked in to crack that baby open right now and to pull out the notes page. And to walk through this challenge with me. You see, I want to take us through a thought audit. An honest look at the thoughts that we have on a daily basis, and I want to do so in three distinct areas. To help us begin to identify where we fall in our lives, in our thoughts, in these three predominant areas. And what I want you to do is this. I want you to rate yourself between 1 and 10. And on your notes page, it'll come up on the screen for you as well. You'll begin to see if you rate yourself 1 through 5, you're going to fall towards the thing on the left. 6 through 10, you're going to sway a little bit more to the thing on the right. Are we ready? Number 1. Do your thoughts on a daily basis tend to sway more towards being worried or towards being peaceful? Do you have this unexplainable peace in your life no matter how wrong things go? Or are you like me, you were birthed into a family in which worry is simply passed down through your DNA? I can find anything to worry about basically anything that's happening in my life. It is so easy for my mind to get engaged in worry and to worry about money and to worry about what tomorrow is going to bring and to worry about whether the church is going to make it and to worry about whether I'm going to be able to get up here and do this and what I'm going to talk about and where we go from here and what the next thing is and to worry, 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 worry all the time. Do you find yourself more worried or more peaceful? Secondly, do you find yourself in your thoughts to be more negative or more positive? More simply put, would you consider yourself to be honestly a pessimist or an optimist? And y'all, this is my cop-out. There is no such thing as a realist, okay? That is a pessimist term to cushion the blow. Do you find yourself thinking on a daily basis more negative things, that the world is falling around me, and even when something goes good, it's just a matter of time before the other shoe drops and it goes bad? Or do you find yourself capable of seeing the positive, seeing the good that's happening around you? And then number 3, do your thoughts tend to drift towards worldly or an eternal perspective? The quality and the happiness of your life is based upon worldly things. How much money I'm making, what the title on the door says, whether I got that new pair of shoes or not, how nice the car is, how many square foot is attached to the house, how my present circumstances are actually playing out on this earth. Are you capable? Man, God gives us so much incredible instruction about the direction of our life being determined on our ability to have an eternal mindset. To know, yes, on this earth you will have trouble. But you were never meant to make your home here. This is not supposed to be your permanent home. There is something better that is waiting for you eternally. Are you capable of stepping back and possessing an eternal mindset even to the difficult circumstances of your life? You see, what I'm willing to bet is this. Is that if you were courageous enough to get honest as you move through that thought audit, if you found your answers being 1 through 5 on all three of those, the reality is that if you were to answer the question, how do you feel like your life is going, you would feel as if your life really isn't up to par. It's headed in a difficult direction, a direction that I never intended for my life to go in. That you'd be generally negative about the present standing of your life. But if you found most of your answers citing 6 through 10, most likely what you would admit to is this: my life is far from perfect, but I'm capable of recognizing that even as I go through troubles, that there are some incredible things in my life that I have to be thankful for. You're capable of recognizing the blessings, and you're not just waiting for the other shoe to drop and the bad things to happen. You're not dependent upon CNN or Fox News to tell you the state of the world and how bad life really is. That you're capable of stepping back and seeing this from an eternal perspective and reminding yourself of who God is and what he's already done for you and that the battle's already won. You see, this thought audit begins to reveal something in every single one of us. That the way in which we think ultimately dictates the way in which our life is presently moving. And so if we want our lives to move in a different direction and to begin to win this war that's happening in our minds, we have to develop a battle plan. And this morning, with the time that we have remaining over the course of the next couple of minutes, I just want to introduce to you the first week of this series, two foundational steps that allow us to begin to create a battle plan to fight back against the lies that the enemy wants to speak into you and over you within your circumstances. The first foundational step for a strong battle plan is this. Is that we have to identify the biggest strongholds holding us back. This is where the thought audit comes into play and gives you a practical place to go back to and to identify, hey, here are the thoughts that I'm thinking all of the time that are holding me back from God's best, that are keeping me trapped in worry, fear, anxiety, depression, insecurities, whatever it may be in my mind. That you can ask the question, all right, I rated myself a 2 when it came to worried or peaceful. What are the things that are worrying me every single day? Or what's the thing that creates the most negative thoughts within me? Or what is it that I'm thinking about that consistently sucks me back to a worldly mindset? You see, the reason that it's so important for us to identify those negative thoughts that have taken root in our lives is because science shows that your thoughts, every thought you have, is literally changing you. Do you realize that several decades ago, they used to believe that your brain stopped developing after adolescence? Yo, I don't know about you. I am so happy that my brain didn't stop developing at 15 years old, right? But what they began to find in this study is this. Is that every thought we have literally does something tangible within our brain. And here's what they found. Every new thought, this is scientific study, y'all. Every new thought that you have in your brain creates a new, what they call, neuropathway. And every time you create a new neuropathway, every time you go down that pathway, the next time you're presented with a situation of which way to go, it becomes easier to go down that same pathway. You encounter a situation, you created the neuropathway of worry or fear or uncertainty or insecurity. The next time you're presented with a similar situation, it becomes easier to go down that same pathway. And after you've gone down that pathway 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times, guess what happens? They found that it is possible for the human brain to create default neuropathways. That it becomes habitual within our brains when presented with difficult circumstances, when we choose worry or fear or anxiety. Now, the next time we're presented with a similar circumstance, that is our default pathway. We don't even have to think about it. Our brain is already halfway down the pathway. Our brain is already moving in that direction. It becomes default of our minds to just go there again and again and again. It's kind of like this. If your house is anything like mine, when I walk out my front door, there is not a sidewalk that is a straight path from my front door to the mailbox. And so every single day when going to our mailbox, we are presented with a choice. And as humanity, oftentimes our default choice is that we want the quickest and easiest path. And so what ends up happening is this. When we walk out our front door, we are presented with a choice of what path we will take going to our mailbox. And y'all, you've heard me talk about this before. I classify myself as a one-tripper when it comes to the groceries. I'm like one of those waiters who has the plate stacked all the way up their arms. That I am bound and determined it is only going to take me one trip to get every single bag out of the back. I can't open the door, but I'm getting every bag into the house on one trip. For me, I want the easiest, I want the quickest route possible. And so when I walk out my front door and faced with the choice of going and getting my mail, do I stay on the sidewalk that then leads to the driveway and then cut down the road to get to the mailbox? Or do I simply cut through the front yard? And sure, y'all, there may be some freshly planted landscaping there with some flowers that my wife just put out. But this is the quickest way. And day one, when I walk out the front door and I choose to walk through the landscaping and go through the front yard, the next day when I walk out the front door, I did it yesterday, and it was quicker, it was easier. And so day number two, I choose to do the exact same thing. And day number three, it becomes just a little bit easier. And day number four, all of a sudden, it's just habitual. Until one day I walk out the front door and what I recognize is that there is literally a moat that is being carved through the landscaping in the front yard. And those flowers that my wife just planted, now the petals have begun to be brushed off because my leg is brushing against it every time I cut through the landscaping. And it hasn't rained for the last 3 weeks, so it's ridiculously easy to now see the wear and the path that is being carved through the front lawn on the path that I walk every single day. And there are things within my life that were just done, that were created to be healthy and nice, that have now become destroyed because I've chosen the easy route. And what I believe with all of my heart, that when it comes to our mental choices, God created a sidewalk for a reason. We just have to be disciplined enough to use it. To know, yeah, it may be a little bit harder on day one to break the path through the lawn. And when we look around, everybody else is taking the path through the front lawn. Every conversation we have around the water cooler at work is about how bad the world is and how bad their spouse is and how bad their life is and how screwed up their grown kids are. It would just be easier to do and talk like and think like everybody else. But the same guy who wrote that battle plan that we read about in 2 Corinthians says this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person. For so many of us, we look at our thought lives and even the direction of our physical lives and we say, man, I am dying for something new, dying for something better, but how? By changing the way you think. Let him transform your life by changing the way you think. You come home from work and it's been a rough day. The path through the front yard says the first time something isn't right or your kids spill a drink on the table, you snap and you go off. The path down the sidewalk says, I'm going to acknowledge first and foremost that it's been a rough day. I may even admit that it's been a rough day at work to my spouse so that they know that it's been a rough day. And I identify the stronghold that's holding me back, that's taking me down a path I don't want to go. I've been hurt in relationship by someone within my household or someone that I'm dating. The path through the front yard says, go to the freezer door. There's a gallon of ice cream in there. And then you do it and you feel even worse. The path down the sidewalk says this. Even though you've been hurt in relationship, you need to find somebody in your life to be in community with. That you can pick up the phone when you've been hurt and things aren't going right. And you can talk with them and trust them and process through it with them. Not bashing the person that's hurt you or gossiping about that person or putting them down. But someone that will help you process in a healthy way. Or instead of walking to the freezer door for the gallon of ice cream, the path down the sidewalk says walk to the front door. And go on a walk to blow off some steam. You see, we choose a different way of doing things. We choose the sidewalk. We're disciplined enough to do that. We identify the stronghold that's holding us back. And the reason that that's so important, y'all, is this. It's because you can't defeat what you don't define. You can't defeat what you don't define. And so if we want to fight back and we want to defeat these thoughts that have gotten the best of me and you far too often, we have to identify those strongholds that are holding us back. And then secondly, we have to name the truth that demolishes those strongholds. It's not enough to just identify it. Now we have to root it out and we have to replace it with what is actually true. This is what Jesus desires for our lives. Check this out. In John chapter 8, he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So often we're afraid of the truth, but God says, no. The real truth, not the lies of the enemy that he wants to speak over you and into you, the real truth of what I say about who you are, who I've created you to be, the purpose I have for you, the value and worth that you have in my eyes, when you know that truth will set you free. And I don't know about y'all, but I know for myself, I desire a little freedom from things like worry, fear, anxiety, depression, and insecurities in my life. We all want a little freedom from those things. And the truth is, most of those things are birthed from lies from the enemy. We fight back by demolishing those strongholds with the truth of our Heavenly Father. But for many of us, our problem looks an awful lot like this. A few weeks ago, I was playing with the boys, and every once in a while, we get into this habit of playing hide and seek. It typically begins in this way, that it's the two of them against Daddy. And so Daddy's going all over the house trying to find the most discreet hiding places. I'm like jumping into the dark bathroom in the tub and shutting the shower curtain behind me so that they can't find me. And after a while, the two of them looking for me in the most hidden places in the house, there comes a point where one of them always deems, Daddy, I'm on your team now. It's me and you against him. It's me and you against Bubby now. And parents, hear me on this, all right? You're going to be able to relate to this. There is a soft spot in my heart. This is not an admittance of loving one more than the other. I love them both equally. There is a soft spot in my heart when we begin to play games for the youngest. I'm the youngest, siblings of 9, 10, and 12 years older than me. I never won at anything, y'all. And so Daddy oftentimes likes to take the youngest under his wing and like, all right, buddy, we're going to win this one. You don't often win, but I'm going to help you win this one. And so there was this day a few weeks ago where we were playing hide and seek, and Beckham had found our hiding spot, and yet he had come around, and so we ran out the other side, and we ran into our bedroom. Krista and I's bedroom is the only interior door in the house that has a lock on it. And so we ran into the bedroom, and we shut the door behind us, and dads, you've done this before, right? Humor me at least. Don't call parent services. As he was on the other side of the door, I held the doorknob with my hand so that he couldn't twist the doorknob, and I pressed against it. And there he was, trying to get into the room, trying to twist. He couldn't twist and press against the door with all of Daddy's weight up against it. And he was trying frantically to get in to find me and Bubby on the other side. And after about 30 seconds of trying and pushing with all of his might and trying to turn, and the doorknob wasn't giving, I could hear him on the other side remove his hand from it. And as I walked away from the door, I said, "It's locked," and walked and sat on the bed. And for a couple of minutes, my oldest child sat on the other side of the door, banging on the door and crying. And after I'd let my youngest have his laughs, I yelled through the door, "Buddy, I never locked the door. I hadn't turned the lock to the door, but there he sat, banging against the door, never trying to open it and walk through, because he believed the lie that was fed to him." And you see, so often in all lives, when it comes to all thoughts of worry and fear and anxiety and the insecurities that bombard us every single day, we found ourselves believing that we are trapped within this stronghold, that there's no getting out, there's no escape from this. Because so often the enemy has walked away from the door and said, "It's locked." And yet the God of the universe looks into your life and my life, into our minds, and he wants you to hear this message loud and clear. Your enemy does not have the power or the authority to lock the door. He will only try to lie to convince you that he does, but he doesn't. That door has never been locked. My truth sets you free. And all you need is the courage to get up, twist the doorknob, and to walk out. To cover yourself with my truth, what I say about you, not what he has to say about you. He has no right to speak into your life. He didn't create you. He knows nothing about who you really are. And for every time he tries to communicate, "You aren't good enough," I want you to hear me say, no. Within my word, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every time he wants to communicate, there's no possible way you can do that. You aren't skilled enough, trained enough, good enough at that. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Every time he wants to communicate, that's too big for you. You're too far gone for that. You're too deep into that addiction. For we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. You are an overcomer. For every time he wants to make you feel as if you aren't worth much, and frankly, your life isn't even worth living. No. You are a child of the Most High God. I have made you an heir. I chose you as my own, not because I had to, but because I love you. And it gave me great pleasure to adopt you into my family, to call you my own. Every stronghold that the enemy has created in your life, God has a truth that breaks down that stronghold for you to walk out in freedom and begin to win the battles, the wars that rage in our minds. And in winning those wars and those battles, we walk into a different future. You see, God has a desire for you and I to have a sound mind. That was his intention. He knew that about us, that our brains are powerful things. He communicated it over and over and over again in his word. He desires for you to have a sound mind, to fight back against worry, fear, depression, anxiety, and insecurities. A sound mind to be able to differentiate between his truth and the enemy's lies. A sound mind to be able to see clearly. A God who loves me enough to sacrifice himself for me. All my mistakes, all my insecurities. That is a hope that changes everything in the way in which we think. You see, if we want to fight back, It begins by identifying the strongholds that are holding us back and then naming the truth that demolishes those strongholds and sets us free. And when we can start there, y'all, that is when we begin to win the war in our minds. Would you pray with me? Father, like so many weeks, I find myself in the exact same place. When I come back to your love, your sacrifice, your truth, your grace, what else is there to say but thank you? Thank you for being a God who loves me, who sees value and worth in me, who speaks truths over me, into me, that are greater than any lies the enemy wants to communicate into my life. A God who knows me most and still wants what's best. A God who didn't leave me to figure it out on my own. God who desires for me to have a sound mind that breaks the strongholds that this world wants to throw at me. A God who loved me enough to speak this into fruition. I have given you the same divine power that my son had that created miracles on this earth so that you could demolish the strongholds that the enemy has created in your life one lie at a time. And so God, this morning, man, we have the courage to identify those thoughts that are holding us back, the strongholds of worry, fear, anxiety, stress, depression, insecurities that we feel like we're trapped inside of, and then name the truth that demolishes those strongholds. We thank you that you've given us that battle plan.